Governor Walker's proposed state budget calls for an expansion of the voucher school program. This program, which started in Milwaukee and was expanded to Racine a couple of years ago, provides taxpayer-funded vouchers to some parents who want to transfer their children out of public schools and send them to private schools. The budget calls for expanding the program to 9 other school districts, including Beloit, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, Sheboygan, Superior, Waukesha, and West Allis. And the issue has sparked a lot of controversy at the public hearings going on over the past couple of weeks on the state budget. And it's our focus of our big question debate this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 17th. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick an issue in the news that's facing the state or nation and 2 guests to debate it and discuss it with you. And you are invited to join in with your questions, concerns, and views as well. Today on expanding the school voucher program, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, tweet us on Twitter, @JoyCardineShow. And as always, we also have our big question online. You can vote online at wpr.org/joy. Let me welcome our guests. Happy to have with us Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Jim Shaw, former superintendent of the Racine Unified School District and adjunct professor of educational leadership and policy analysis at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
That's right. I just learned that you two are practically neighbors.
Well, we live in Little Lake Mills, so yes, if you live in Lake Mills, you have lots of it.
But good to have you both on the show. And this is, as I mentioned, one of the most controversial aspects of Governor Walker's proposed state budget, calling for the expansion of the voucher school program. Let me start first with opening statements from both of you. And briefly, please, we'll get into details as we go along. But Jim Bender, why should the school voucher program be expanded?
Well, our organization, School Choice Wisconsin, is focused on providing opportunities for students through increasing parental rights in education. We believe that the parents are the primary educators of their children and will know the best setting for their children. And so while we don't promote private schools or charter schools or public schools, we do promote the idea that parents should have more control over their educational dollars and how education is provided in the state. So that's a very simple way of putting it, but that's really the bedrock of where we approach this from. So it's it takes a lot of different angles and depending on where you're talking about it. And clearly this state budget includes a number of provisions that are stacking item upon item on top, which makes it even more complicated and I think even more controversial than the voucher program in and of itself. But we'll get into that as the hour progresses.
Yes. And Jim Shaw, your opening statement as to why the voucher school program should not be expanded.
Well, my concern generally is the quality of public education in Wisconsin. I've been involved in public education for more than 40 years as a teacher, administrator, professor at UW, and the quality of public education is a Wisconsin tradition. It's a Wisconsin idea. And over the past 2 budgets, I think we're not addressing Wisconsin's educational problems, the problem of quality education for all children. So, for example, Wisconsin is just a wonderful public school system. It leads the nation in graduation rates, 3rd highest ACT scores, some of the highest AP success rates in the Midwest. So we have this successful public school system, but we have some achievement gaps. We have achievement gaps primarily associated with poverty, but also associated with race. For example, our African-American students, 8th grade level, we have some of the biggest achievement gaps between black and white middle-class students. So we have this great Wisconsin public school system, but we're not educating all children to high levels. And so the problem with the last two budgets is that we have been making achievement gaps worse. We have been moving funding from public schools, especially from public schools that are high poverty, that serve high percentages of high poverty students. In those same school districts, those same high poverty districts, we are also introducing and expanding vouchers, which takes additional money away from our poorest school districts.
Let me jump in, Jim Shaw, and get Jim Bender to respond to that. This is going to hurt the public education for the many to provide this program.
Yeah, and I think that's usually the starting point for the conversation, is that's the first place that those are opposed to vouchers. That's kind of the primary argument. You're removing resources away from the public school system. And the unfortunate part is, you know, and I agree with Jim. I mean, I think that for the vast majority of students in the state of Wisconsin, the public school system is doing a good job. And I think even with the introduction or the expansion of the voucher program, the vast majority of students would remain in public schools. I don't think there's any question that at the end of the day, no matter where you're talking, there's still going to be a vast majority of kids in the public schools. The problem is when you're talking about these achievement gaps and you're talking about the problems that we're having, these didn't sneak up on anybody. These aren't something that just happened. We've got data pointing back decades that shows that there's been some problems with certain segments of society not getting adequate education here in Wisconsin. In fact, that was the onus for the creation of the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. Polly Williams, almost 25 years ago, kind of kicked off the whole process because this is exactly what she saw, an inflexible public school system that wasn't being reactive to the boots on the ground. So when you're talking about resources being removed from a school, it's a bit disingenuous because the student that's, let's say, Racine, where Jim is very familiar with, the student that goes to a public school in Racine, with or without a voucher program, gets exactly the same amount of money per student. That doesn't change. But what happens is when you're given the opportunity for parents to find a better option for their student, yes, the money follows the child. And therefore, there is money that does leave the district because the student is leaving the district. That's true for a voucher program. That's true if the parents move away. That's true if anything happens. I mean, if the student leaves the district, the money does, you know, not go to that district anymore. So we got to be careful in the way that we phrase that we're taking money out of the district, because in all reality, all you're doing is allowing children a different option, which doesn't necessarily take money away from the district.
Jim Shaw?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious over the past two budgets, we've taken $1 billion from public education. And the problem with that is not only that we have less resources, but now we're directing resources to an unproven strategy. We've had a 20-year experiment with voucher schools. They don't work. The issue now is, how are we going to get quality schools? We know how to get quality public education. We need policies that address student poverty. We need to increase community engagement. We need to improve teacher quality. Teachers are the most important element in education, whether that teacher is working in a private school or a public school. We need the best possible teachers. We should have a Wisconsin policy that promotes teacher quality and principal quality. We should align our limited resources that we have to strategies that work. We know, for example, that early childhood education is very effective in addressing student poverty. It makes a difference if you can work with kids and parents at a very early age. We know that smaller class size works especially with high poverty kids and minority kids. It's very important to those children to have a personal relationship with a teacher. We know from years of research and experience that tutoring works. Individual tutoring is especially effective. We need policies and resources to support that.
Let me again jump in and ask Jim Bender to respond to voucher schools don't work.
Yeah, I'll go down the list here. You know, that's a very, and I'm not sure what that's based on a lot of different things, which I'll let Jim explain what he means by that. I would just say, I'll pick an example. There's so many different examples, but let's look at Hope Christian High School. Excuse me. a high school that was started on the near north side, MLK Drive in Milwaukee, specifically to serve high poverty areas and high need areas. I'm going to an event in a couple weeks. Hope Christian High School, for the second year in a row, is not only graduating 100% of their students, which are 99% free and reduced lunch, 99% African American, but every single student is going on to a college or university for the second year in a row. For most of those families, it's the first child in that family that is ever going to college. So to sit back and say the school choice program doesn't work, I think you'd have a hard time sitting down with a family of a student who's going to college for the first time in the history of their family and say the program doesn't work. Now, I will freely admit that there are high-performing schools and low-performing schools in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. I am by no means saying that every school is perfect. That is not what I'm saying. And there is room for improvement. I'll be free about that. But to say that it doesn't work is to really discount a great number of high-performing schools that are in Milwaukee. And the other comment he made was there was $1 billion taken out of the schools. And that was an act of the legislature that had nothing to do with the voucher program. That was, I mean, they were balancing a budget. All those decisions are made. The funding for the public schools in Wisconsin and the funding for the voucher program are entirely separate. They don't come out of the same pot of money. There's no equalization aid that goes with the voucher. We can get in the weeds pretty easy here. But it is entirely separate pot of money.
Well, we'll get to the funding a little bit later, or more on the funding a little bit later. But let me get to Jim Shaw to explain, when you say that the voucher schools don't work, what do you mean? What evidence is there that they don't work?
They don't work any better than the Milwaukee public schools. The Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau did a nonpartisan, I think, objective study of looking at all the studies that have been done to show that voucher schools are more effective, and studies that have shown that they're less effective, that public schools are more effective. And the general conclusion is there's no evidence to support that voucher schools are any better than the Milwaukee public schools. At the same time, we have Wisconsin public schools generally operating at a much higher level than Milwaukee public schools or voucher schools on average. So Wisconsin public education, the traditional system, is working better than the voucher system. Now, like Jim, I don't dispute the fact that there are successful voucher schools. And I'm sure Jim does not dispute the fact that there are successful public schools in Milwaukee. So the issue becomes, why do we want a state policy? And why do we want $260 million of taxpayer money, no matter what pot it comes from? It comes from the taxpayers, local or state. Why do we want that kind of money to be spent on an unproven strategy that does not improve overall the quality of education in the state of Wisconsin?
We will talk about that a little bit more after this short break, talking with Jim Shaw, who is a former superintendent of the Racine Unified School District, and Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, about today's big question, which is whether or not we should expand the voucher school program in Wisconsin. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, cloudy, rainy, a chance of snow in northern Wisconsin, thunderstorms possible in the south, highs today in the low to mid 40s. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, we will talk with the author of The Secrets of Happy Families. So stay tuned for that. It's our big question debate this hour. We're talking with two guests who have different viewpoints on our big question: should we expand the school voucher program in Wisconsin? Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. He says yes. Jim Shaw is a former superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. He says no. And before we take calls, we have full lines. Do you, Jim Bender, want to respond to Jim Shaw's statement there that, you know, why would we want to expand this program, to expand this school voucher program when the results are mixed? There's no evidence that the kids in those schools are doing better than the kids in the public schools.
Well, not to get into a long, drawn-out, you know, research-based debate here, I think to step back a second, a lot of that looked at just attainment scores and just test scores, not over time, not with any growth coefficient. It was really just a kind of a snapshot WKCE look at what is happening in the schools. And the first premise is, and I'm sure Jim would agree with this, standardized test scores are not the only indicator you need to use in education these days. In fact, for most of the history, standardized tests have been shunned across the board. So I would say this, when parents are deciding what's the best educational setting for their children, academics oftentimes are not the number one issue. Academics are sometimes much further down the list. And graduation rates and other indicators are much more an accurate way of looking at what, life expectancy is going to be for students that are graduating high school, getting into college. So when we look at a program that is operating, that is taking kids that are struggling, and data shows that the students that are transferring out of public schools into the voucher program are significantly behind the average student in the public schools, you've got these schools that the parents are choosing to send their kids to for safety, for school culture, whatever it might be, that are working as good, if not better, at literally half the cost. So when you're looking from a public policy standpoint, your return on investment, you're having state tax dollars go into a system that is returning results that are better, and at worst case scenario, in some instances it's even. But what you're getting for your taxpayer dollar is a much better investment than what's happening in some of the public schools in some of the instances around the state of Wisconsin.
All right. Jim Shaw.
Well, again, I think we're concerned about achievement gaps. We're concerned about the most effective ways to help all our children succeed at high levels. And one of the key strategies is parental engagement, parental involvement. That's critical, and we all know that, and I think that has to be part of any strategy to improve achievement for all kids. But it's not enough. We need to have the very best teachers in schools of high poverty working with our neediest children. We need our best principals. We need longer school days. We need summer school programs that are effective. We need tutoring for those children. Now, we have research that shows all these strategies work. So why are we spending more money on an unproven strategy? The research is mixed at best, and the accountability for that money is less than it is in the public schools.
Let me jump in on that point, because I think Ian in Wapaka wants to talk some about accountability. Hi, Ian.
Hi. I've just got a basic one statement and a question. Are these private schools owned by corporations, and is there any oversight or regulation with regards to taxpayer money actually goes to these private schools?
All right, thank you, Ian. Let's have Jim Bender start on that.
I am not aware of any corporate-owned schools. They're all 501c3s. The vast majority of them in Milwaukee are, religiously affiliated Lutheran Catholic schools. There are some independent schools that are there. And the misnomer that there's not accountability is almost laughable. For constitutional reasons, every dime that goes into a school in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, those schools are audited with three audits every year by an independent CPA, and then those audits are all reviewed by the Department of Public Instruction. So there is not a penny that gets spent in a school that's in the voucher program that an independent CPA and the Department of Public Instruction doesn't review on an annual basis. That's more often than public schools are audited. They're only run through about once every 5 years. Every school in the program, three audits every year by the Department of Public Instruction.
Jim Shaw?
Well, Jim's wrong. I mean, public schools are audited every one of the 40 years that I've been in public schools. There's been an audit that's submitted to the Department of Public Instruction. But I think the real issue about accountability, in Wisconsin anyway, is local control. That's part of our history here in Wisconsin. We know that education is a state responsibility. But what we like in Wisconsin is local control our local school boards, our neighbors being involved and supporting our public schools so that we know when we have a problem, and their problems are inevitable, whether you're in private education or public education, where do you go with that problem? You go to your local school board, and you expect some type of reaction. If you don't get the reaction that you want, if you're dissatisfied, you can appeal. You can go through open records processes. You can access records about evaluation of administrators, superintendents, for example. It's more of an open book. It's more transparent.
Because we have just a minute before a news break. Jim Bender, I can't do this with the private schools?
Well, in fact, you can do it even more so. Why do you need to go through all those hoops? How about putting the parents in charge? Let the parents have the control over the education. At our schools, when a parent has a problem, they don't have to go to a school board. They walk in and talk to the principal. They go in and talk to the teacher. Why have all these other hoops you got to jump through? Why not give parents the control? I mean, I understand the need for local control, and my students are in Lake Mills Elementary School. I mean, I'm not disapproving of what the public schools are, but the goal here is to have local control. What's more local than the parents?
We'll pick up on this point after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We have two guests with us debating today's big question on whether or not Wisconsin should expand its school voucher program. It's one of the proposals in Governor Walker's proposed state budget. What do you think? What questions do you have? What points would you like our guests to address? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and be sure to vote in our online poll at wpr.org/joy. This is the Ideas Network. The state legislature's Joint Finance Committee will hold its last public hearing on the state budget tomorrow in Baldwin, Wisconsin. That's near Eau Claire. And if it's like any of the other public hearings, especially one last week in Green Bay, the proposal to expand the private school voucher program in the state will get lots of attention. It's one of the most controversial aspects of Governor Walker's proposed state budget, and the proposed expansion of the voucher school program is our big question this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, April 17th. We have two guests with us who have different answers to our big question, and we invite your questions and answers too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jim Bender is with us. He is president of School Choice Wisconsin in favor of an expansion of this school voucher program, and Jim Shaw, a former superintendent of the Racine Unified School District and adjunct professor of educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison, says no to an expansion of the private school voucher program. The proposal would expand this program to 9 other school districts in the state. It would include Beloit, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, Kenosha, Madison, Sheboygan, Superior, Waukesha, and West Allis. These are districts that have schools that could be considered failing schools or schools that are doing below average D's or F's on a new state report card. And let's talk a little bit about that criteria and the controversy over that report card as well before we go back to calls. Jim Shaw, do you have any a problem with this report card and allowing that to be one of the criteria for expanding school voucher programs?
Well, I'm all for increased accountability, and I think at the heart, the base of accountability, is accurate data, and that's what's missing to me in a new report card system. That we've just begun this system. We have no idea about the validity or reliability of the report card. And what I suspect, even worse than that, is that achievement and poverty in Wisconsin and in the nation and across the world is usually closely associated with poverty. So what's likely to happen with report cards that do not account for the impact of student poverty is that we're going to have districts with less poverty, low-poverty districts, get high marks in the report card, and districts with high levels of student poverty get low marks. In fact, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Districts with high percentages of kids on free and reduced lunch are the districts that have been identified as failing districts. To me, that's blaming public schools for poverty. And what we want to do is have public schools help address the issue of poverty, better educated population, and improve public schools. We want more resources for our neediest children, not less.
Jim Bender?
If we have a report card system that identifies schools as failing and takes away resources, we're making matters worse.
Jim Bender.
I guess there's two things. First, I would agree with Jim in that the neediest students should be getting more resources, which is why we're asking for an increase in the voucher amount, because currently the students, which are all low-income in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, are only getting $6,442 compared to more than twice that for the public school. So we agree that the lowest-income students and high-poverty students should get more aid. But the idea that, and I will freely admit that the, actually Jim and I were on the accountability task force that helped create the report card. And so we had a lot of input in how it got put together. And I certainly think it'll be evolving over time. There's no doubt about that. I don't think that makes it invalid. But even to step back just a second to say that there's a correlation between some of the results in poverty, I don't doubt for a second that there's some truth to that. I mean, you're not allowed, the way that it's created right now, you're not allowed to use a value-added growth component to factor in. But the poverty and the results that are being seen here, these have been around for a long time. If for some reason now the report card is going to say, okay, well, now we understand that there's a problem. Let's use Green Bay for an example. To say, okay, now because there's, 14 schools that get, the lowest two categories, a DNF or a rating, and then they qualify. Okay, now we understand what the problem is. Now we're going to fix it. That's been true in Green Bay for an awful long time. I mean, when you've got a district that has 40% of their low-income kids not graduating high school, when you've got 13 or 15% of Hispanic and African-American kids even taking the ACT test, and that's been true for more than a decade. I mean, this didn't sneak up on somebody. So if now their alternative is to say, okay, now that we've identified the problem, let's put more money into public schools and they'll solve the problem, my question is, why hasn't it been done up till now? And if we're going to give you more money to do it, how long do we have to wait?
Well, very briefly, Jim Shaw.
Well, first of all, we haven't put more money in. We've taken out $1 billion. Worse than that, we've taken more money from high-poverty districts than from low-poverty districts. We've done just the opposite of what good policy would do to help our students succeed.
Let me go on to some callers who have been patiently waiting. John in Racine is with us. Hi, John.
Hello, thank you. I'm from Racine. In 2012 to 2013, that period of time, the Racine Unified School District lost $2.7 million to vouchers in private schools. This amount could easily double as the criteria for who can be involved, who can use the vouchers, changes and increase the number of people. Racine and its taxpayers cannot afford to lose this money, and the state of Wisconsin cannot afford to fund two parallel school systems. As this expands, people in the rest of the state can expect this type of impact on their schools. The school voucher program, I view as a blatant money grab by private schools taking money from public schools. The money grab uses the state tax system to get the money. It's being funded by out-of-state interests primarily and uses highly paid lobbyists. So I repeat, the state of Wisconsin cannot afford to fund two parallel school systems.
Thank you, John. Let's have Jim Bender respond to that. There's also a report that did come out this week, at least it was in the news this week. Nine school districts eventually would lose more than $1 million each in state aid under the plan to to expand the voucher school program in Wisconsin. And this report by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau said that local school districts would be able to make up a portion of their losses by raising property taxes. You want to respond to that, Jim Bender?
Sure, I'll take one and then the other. So the caller, $2.7 million, he used an interesting word, that they lost the money. The problem is, it's not their money to begin with. The legislature allocates taxpayer dollars. School districts don't allocate dollars. School districts are on the receiving end of what the legislature allocates. And so to say that this was their money and someone took their money away is just a basic misunderstanding of how the state of Wisconsin funds education. If there are students and there are parents that choose an option that better fits their kid, their student, their child, the legislature has deemed that that is an appropriate use. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has also said that is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars to educate children in the state. The Constitution does not say, please have a system of schools funded exclusively for the use of quote-unquote public dollars. It says, the Constitution has a creation of common schools. But the end of that constitutional requirement is to educate the children. And if your goal is to perpetuate a system, that's an entirely different argument than educating children. So I would just go back to the basic premise. It's not the school district's dollars. So when you talk about the report that just came out about the money that's going to move, it's actually not a loss of revenue. Nobody's losing any money. There's not any less money spent on education over this. What happens is inside the equalized aid formula that scatters money all over the state depending on property values, when there are districts that have voucher programs like in Milwaukee and Racine, it does affect their equalized aid. So that money isn't lost. It's just sent to a different part of the state. So it's a shifting of the money inside the equalized aid formula that goes all over. We're not opposed to letting the local school district and their membership count, and again, I'm getting in the weeds here, that would minimize what they call the funding flaw. That's one of the arguments that comes out of Milwaukee and Racine, is there's a funding flaw. And there is an impact of the program on local taxpayers and on that equalized aid funding. And we particularly, it's not a voucher-specific decision that was made, but it does, the program does have an impact on equalized aid. And we're not opposed to having a change in law that would fix that computation and equalized aid that would flatten out some of those differences.
Jim Shaw, what about the contention that the public school district isn't losing this funding?
Well, it is. I mean,
like it's following the child to the private school.
I see what you're saying. Well, first of all, the equalization formula. If the poorest districts like Racine and Milwaukee, if they don't get the equalization aid, it's going to go to other school districts. It'll go to low-poverty districts instead of, again, it doesn't follow the neediest children. Now, in terms of the voucher going with the child, that's true. I mean, there is a cost to educating children in the public schools, and when that child leaves the public schools, the voucher, the support for that child, goes to a private school. There's a couple of issues there, though. I mean, and it does, as Jim says, you get into the weeds a little bit here. Because in Racine, for example, only about half the children enrolled in the voucher schools were enrolled in Racine public schools. So you have taxpayers now supporting the private education of students that were never public of school students. In addition to that, you have 25 students in a classroom, when one student leaves, you don't get to reduce one teacher. So there are some fixed costs that make it difficult for public schools to make adjustments as the school year begins or even in the middle of the school year, when children go to voucher schools and then return to the public schools. This, again, creates some issues of funding. And it removes us, again, from the idea of spending money most effectively for quality teaching and for methods that work to improve achievement gaps.
Let me, one more call. Vicki and Racine. Go ahead, Vicki.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I was a special needs bus driver, and I find that the problem is that the public schools are at a disadvantage because they have to take all these special needs students that require a tremendous amount of financial resources. I drove students who had individual teachers because they couldn't be with other students. Sometimes they had individual nurses. I know they had private bus rides to and from school. And the voucher schools are not required to take these kids, which dilutes the amount of money available to so-called normal kids in the public schools.
All right, Jim Bender, what about that?
Well, that's true. They're not required to take those students. They're also not allowed any financial resources to educate those children if they were there. I mean, that's the way that the public school system set everything up. There isn't fair distribution of federal dollars for students with special needs. It's a bit tough to say that the schools, and this isn't a voucher, this is a private school issue, not necessarily anything to do with a voucher. But that's the way the system is set up. I mean, you can't say these schools need to take the same kids that the public schools do when none of the federal dollars are allowed to flow. Some services in Milwaukee, I sit on a board called RISAC, R-I-S-A-C, and we work with MPS to find what's called the equitable participation, which is a small percentage of the overall budget that's allowed for some services to go to the private schools. And you're talking about the level of services are provided to the private schools through the federal government are a couple of grades for maybe some language issues. But any student that has, you know, multiple issues inside a private school, and there are many that do inside both Milwaukee and Racine, have students that do that. They're not eligible for any services from any of the federal or state dollars that are allocated to the public school. So, yes, it's inequitable. I will freely say that. But that's the way the system was set up by the public schools.
Well, very briefly, Jim Shaw.
Well, special education is very important to me. I spent a major part of my career working with special education students. The cost of a special education student is roughly 2.5 times that of a regular student. We have laws that require us in public schools to educate all the children of all the people, including special education students. That obligation was supposed to be supported by both federal dollars and state dollars. In fact, at one time, the state had a 70% commitment to fund the cost of special education children. That percentage is now down to 26%, and it falls on the local property taxpayer. So when voucher schools, like in Milwaukee, educate less than 2% of their enrollment are special education students, 20% of the Milwaukee Public Schools enrollment is special education, you have a tremendous inequity in terms of costs. The costs that are incurred by, that's why one of the major reasons why public education costs more than private education. Because all the children's needs must be addressed by law in the public school.
I need to jump in because we are time for closing arguments, and I'm asking you both to just be as brief as possible. Do you think, starting with Jim Bender, that the voucher program will be expanded, that funding will be expanded for the voucher program in Wisconsin in the state budget?
Yeah, I'm very encouraged by the conversations that are going on in the Capitol now amongst a number of different senators and representatives that are looking for different options. I think the governor took some bold steps, has clearly taken some hits from opponents of the voucher program that he's placing the wrong priorities. And, of course, his belief is to empower parents, and that's something that we fully support. So, yeah, we do believe that there will be, at the end of the day, both an expansion of the voucher program and an increase in the voucher amount. Both of those things will enable parents around the state to find quality options for their kids, and that's, at the end of the day, what we're trying to get done. So, yeah, at this point, I'd say we are very optimistic that at the end of the day, there will be some expansion of the program and an increase in the voucher amount.
And Jim Shaw.
Well, I think, again, that Wisconsin is moving in the wrong direction. I think we're moving away from public schools. I think we're privatizing public education. And we're devoting funds that are needed for our children to succeed to privatized schools. I think that's the wrong thing to do. I think we need to look at our funding formula and fix it. We need to have the money follow the needs of children. And I think we need to stay with our tradition of quality public education in Wisconsin controlled by local school boards. That's a part of our history, and I'm afraid that we're moving away from that at a time when, as one of the callers said, we can't afford to fund two public school systems. We need one system funded based on the needs of children so we can close the achievement gaps and have high achievement for all students in Wisconsin.
Jim Shaw, Jim Bender, thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Shaw is former superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. Well, now you heard both sides to today's big question. What do you think? It's time for Sound Off on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Sound Off portion of today's big question, where we ask you whether or not you think the school voucher program should be expanded in Wisconsin. Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Pat in Baraboo. Hi, Pat.
Hi. The standardized test that's given is given to special ed students. So I think the test scores are going to be skewed because the voucher schools will not have the special ed students.
All right. Thank you very much. So, yes, are you for or against the expansion of the school voucher program? Matt says he's against. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dennis in Springfield. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. I think we need to completely diminish or eliminate the voucher school program. The students need to be held to the same academic standards. The money needs to be refunded if the students don't complete the voucher school program, and if the voucher schools need to accept and no cherry picking of students. They need to take all ADA students.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. On Facebook, Aaron writes, yes, it will give public schools some competition. Public schools let kids do anything now, and I'm scared to send my kids to public schools. Let's go next to Maddie in Wapaka. Hello, Maddie.
Good morning. I'm opposed to voucher schools because I think it would be harmful to our society because one thing that's good about our country is all different religions go to school together. They learn to respect each other's religion. And the Christians should stop and think that if voucher schools are funded, it would fund separate religions who are not Christian, and do the Christian taxpayers want to fund other religions?
Thank you, Maddie. Joe in Schofield is next. Hello, Joe.
Oh, good morning. I'm opposed to the voucher program. What I hear a lot is how everything private is better. You know, if it's privatized, oh, they do a much better job than government. Well, if it's so much better, why do they need public dollars? And it's like public dollars going for oil companies, you know, to, you know, research and development and that. And to me, it's like flies in the face of their philosophy of everything private's better. If it's so much better, why do they need public dollars?
Thank you very much, Joe. Well, that'll do it on air anyway for our big question. You can continue to vote online. If you care to, you can find our online poll at WPR.org or linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And right now we have 90% of you voting against the expansion of the voucher school program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.